Okay, so ready to continue. First, let me tell you that I find this session extraordinarily good. There's been lots of contributions. I think we can really believe that we are started in our work in a production phase. We still have a lot to do, but as we clean up this document and flesh out and separate the tasks that have to be derived from it and so forth, we'll find that we've done really an enormous amount of work that was not only made today, but it builds upon the work of everybody over the last 6 months, particularly some people who have had the time, energy, and clarity of mind of making very, very solid contributions. The remaining tasks are getting a list of people to interview, getting organized. For getting organized, I think that we have to also answer a question that Bill Manning just made to me privately, which is what are the deliverables that we will set ourselves to have available for the Senegal meeting, and some dates and times there, so that these deliverables can not only be made, but actually be made useful for the community, which will mean that we'll have to finish a couple of weeks earlier than the Senegal meeting if we want to make them available for public comment and have a much more lively session with community input and so forth. We are also going to need to projectize, to institute some project management, lightweight but clear, as we go forward. I think that we'll gain some freshness if we go first through the list of people we want to interview, people and entities, and then come back to the hard task of getting organized. What do you think, sir? What do you think, Jeff? Go first to the list. So why don't we go along the table? That's the first approach. Tell us who you think is important. Who I mean, persons or entities that we need to interview, and what's the main thrust of each of them. And can you capture?
That's okay.
Okay, good. And you have the projector, so we'll wait for that. Thanks. That's all. Okay, so Alice, what do you think of your first approach? Alice Mignot.
Of course, GAC, although I would go at the GAC both ways, encourage GAC to have a joint, a GAC statement, and also encourage governments to respond to the questionnaire at the national level as well, because then the questionnaires will ensure that we are getting as broader contribution to the questionnaire, so at the two levels, yeah.
So just so I'm clear for the captain notes, are you saying that if effectively GAC members approach their appropriate national bodies, or
the way the GAC works, that's the natural way the GAC works. You'll have some governments responding to the questionnaires individually as governments.
Right.
For example, the government of Kenya responding as the government of Kenya to the questionnaire in detail.
Oh, as the Kenyan delegates.
And yes, then yes. While GAC does, yes. So both at the two levels.
Thanks.
What else do you think, Alice?
Yeah, and other ICANN constituencies like CCTLDs.
So, I mean, is there a process in the CCNSO or others on how to do that?
It should be similar to the GAC, I think. I'm not sure. Yeah.
We would probably submit through Leslie, I would suspect, and then say we'd like to ask these questions, and how would you like to go about it, and then let Leslie decide whether she wants to submit that amongst them, or I mean, I can ask her on the way home. You know,
you have the council members from the CCNSO, a reduced number, there are three or four from each region, so it will be easier.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's 116 members at the moment by my count, so I think we probably, that might be...
No, I mentioned only the council, not all the
yeah.
There are 15 or 16 in the council. How many you are? The CCNSO?
100.
No, the council.
Oh, the council is...
Three from each continent.
Yes.
So there are 15.
Andrei.
I'm sorry, I was not completely paying attention because I was just reading minutes from the board risk committee, which I believe would be the right persons to talk to, because they are doing some interesting stuff according to those minutes. So I think that and obviously we need to continue discussion, but what we have already started with RSAC and SAC, which I take as an implicit thing. Or maybe better say ERSAC plus the individual root server operators, because yeah, we discussed that issue. We don't know how this will evolve.
Hartmut.
I propose to include the five CEOs of the RRs, Axel, Paul, Raul, Adiel, and John Curran. I think they are key persons. And probably I can give you the name of one person of each representation of the continental representation. Let's say from Latin America, probably you can ask Sebastian Belagamba. For North America, probably will be Louis Lee, Equinix. From Europe, probably you can ask Dimitri. He is board member for RIPE.
You have contact details. Can you send those across?
I can send you the name.
Okay, that'd be great, yeah.
Okay, good. And probably for LAC-TLD, LAC-TLD will be, let me select two or three countries, Mexico, Brazil, Oscar Robles, Brazil will be Demi or Frederico, not myself, and probably Chile, Patricio, yeah.
They not come through the of the TLDs, would they not come through the CCNSO response?
Probably yes, but they are key players in the CCTLD, so they need to have all the, they have the risk management, they have all the securities and.
Well, we probably, just being a point of order, we are just thinking we ought, if we're going to go to the CCNSO, we should probably let the CCNSO decide who are their key rather than us pick. I think that might be, does that make sense?
I think we have to, for many of these instances which have a corporate grouping, we have to go both through the top and direct. I mean, that's the approach that we're taking for the root server operators, for example. We go to the RSAC, but we go also to individual.
We are not servers. Thinking of face-to-face interviews. We can do it by email, the same questionnaire.
Or maybe having the interview scheduled for Senegal or other meetings where we meet, or for example, some of you could have interviews with CCTLD managers in a center meeting, which you are attending anyway, and you and they are attending, and some of them, as you say, by email and telephone. But the choice only through councils, only through CEOs, let's say, or through chairs, like going through Leslie and the council, are good, but maybe we will still be curious about specific people. So either we negotiate with Leslie or go direct.
just nervous that that becomes very political. That's all. People will say, "Well, why wasn't I included? Why wasn't I spoken to directly?" There are an awful lot of CCs there, and a lot of people who will have an opinion on this, yeah, and might get a little upset. I'm just thinking, just trying to be fair to everybody as well.
Understood.
So, I mean, let's say our first approach is through the council, and it will also mean that
Simon,
we will have
the other way. We have the complete list of all the names we can send, and for sure we will receive 10% of the answers. So then you don't have the political side. You send to everyone, and then we have only 10 or 15% of responses. I don't see any problem. You can do this way.
What else, Hartmut?
Probably we need to include former board members. Some of the former board members related to... I remember Raimundo Becca. He was very active in the area of the IP addresses, and probably others. Alejandro, you can help us with former board members.
Great.
They know the history, they know the background.
Certainly. Add to that. Well, I'll come in at the end. David.
We do need to include, I think we do need to reach out to the GNSO. I'm not sure what's the best way to do that, though. I don't think talking to the GNSO directly is going to get us much of what we need. It may be a little bit about process, but that's it. So, I mean, should we just approach all the GNSO constituency?
Or your thoughts on that, Jeff?
The Who Is working group met with the commercial stakeholders. That might be more, I don't know, might be more productive to go down a layer below the GNSO. Offer in Dakar to meet with each of the constituencies and see who's interested.
Yeah,
in
we do it at stakeholder or constituency level. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we can ask the. Well, it doesn't make sense for half the. Some of them are the same, so. In fact, it's probably really the commercial is the group where it matters whether you talk to the stakeholders or the constituencies. So, I don't know if you tell it.
Well, you know, at least the business filed comments, and I think they're, I'm reporting out to them on what's happening. So, I think they're very interested in
constituency level then.
At the constituency level.
Constituencies.
Simon.
So there's quite a lot covered here. The other sort of groups I'm thinking of are folk like the DNSSEC workshop groups, Steve Crocker and Russ Mundy and co. That's the one I sit on. I suspect they'll have a comment on this and want to comment as that group, although they're not a specific constituency. They're kind of a very active group within ICANN, so I think they would be useful to capture. I'm just wondering whether we want to go out. Do we want to go out to NTIA? Is that going out too wide?
No, it's not going out too wide. It's absolutely irrenounceable. We'll have to find a way to formulate the questions and the process to get there that gives us some standing and some hope of either getting a response or, loyally recording that we didn't get one.
I can talk to Fiona about that. Yeah.
But we have to have an official route through Rod.
An apocryphal.
So, just an observation: if you're thinking of going through NTIA, that you might want to go through Suzanne, the designated GAC representative for the United States. If you're going to ask for information, it's just an observation.
I think she's Susan with a Z, right?
Z, right.
Yep. Well, Simon.
I've drawn dry for the moment. Let's move around.
Jeff?
You know, the discussion about the GNSO, I mean, triggered a broader question, which is we've already put a set of questions out for comment, and if we're going to send these questions out to individual, are we going to post them generally? I mean, I guess two questions. One is, you know, I got some general feedback that the questions were very broad, which has benefits, but now if this is kind of the second round of the questions, do we, maybe that's just something to think about as we craft the question so it looks different from what we've already asked, and then in the interest of transparency, we might want to post them so that anybody could comment as well, so it doesn't look like we're being exclusive.
Yeah, just to comment on that, actually. So when I drafted those questions for jumping on a plane, so there were two things about them. They weren't desperately well crafted, as Bill pointed out, and they were very team one centric, because I was fresh out of writing the status report and everything else and summing up prior to coming here. So I think there's probably two activities we want to do in any way, which is tighten them up where they need to be tightened up. You know, and I think Bill's comment about, for example, question one needs to say the SSR of the DNS and not just SSR. So things like that need to be done now. And then I think, as you say, we need to make sure they cover the full range of topics we want to ask. Because at the moment, I think they're very governance. Well, they said they're skewed towards the governance implementation side.
It might also be helpful to pull some framing of the groups of issues, as you did, Alejandro. I mean, you kind of did this verbally in the meetings, but to kind of say, you know, so it looks like this is an iterative process to say, you know, here's how we're structuring the questions according to the issues might help give people a context for answering the questions as well.
Let's go through the list first. But yeah, you're right. Who else do you have in mind?
I was going to bring up the GNSO, and I think offering to do some more meetings in Dakar with whoever we haven't met with this time, you know, would make sense. And what about the DSSA working group?
The meetings. I think the HUIS did meetings with each of the GNSO constituencies or stakeholder groups this time around. That would be something to do for in Dakar. The WHOIS review team did meetings with each constituency. That we should do the same thing next time.
Yeah, in Dakar we have to set up times to go to each constituency and make a brief presentation and see who comes up with replies or whether it's their specific leadership. Anything else, Jeff, in your mind right now? No, shout only.
I suggest maybe we can interview some carriers. Yeah, because they run the recurring servers. So, for example, AT&T or Comcast. Yes, and I also need to.
For being ISPs and carriers, but yeah.
Maybe it's ISP. We say accurate for them more than carriers. And I also suggest we can interview with the registrar. It's maybe a big registrar, maybe GoDaddy, they run the authority server. You know, maybe so many big registrars run meetings or thousands of meeting domain names.
I mean, a suggestion might be that those of us from some of these constituencies can help to try and get the questions out and help encourage, so we can go to the ISP considering or the.
Yeah, but
encourage people to respond.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. I guess that's the beauty of this group is because we've by and large, apart from the attrition side of things, we've got folk from each of the constituencies, so it would make sense for a couple of us to go champion those questions through the CCNSO, where we know the members and we can kind of cajole them, and the same for the GNSO and so forth.
What else would you have in mind, Shoko?
No more.
Okay. Bill?
I actually think that you missed the first point that Shadong pointed out, which was the carriers, telcos. You've got the key registers piece, but the first one was the telcos, the people that do the transport. So you should probably put that in for Shadong. I can think of a couple of them. We don't have anybody up there from the law enforcement or security communities, and so we should probably engage with some folks. I'm pretty sure there are some. I know that there is one guy from the U.S. government law enforcement that comes to all of these meetings, primarily looking at who is.
Bobby Flame, yeah.
Bobby, yeah. So we could probably touch him, but giving him a heads up to let him know that we want to talk to him in Senegal. We might need to also talk to, or it would be instructive to get a historical perspective from people like Ira Magaziner at the creation of ICANN and what their expectations were and whether or not they think ICANN is still headed in the right direction. So basically,
so historical perspectives.
The historical perspective before NTIA. It's not NTIA. It's the sort of the precursor to NTIA. The authors.
Former NTIA players.
Yeah, the authors of the green paper. Well, it's not just Ira is not a former NTIA, but that's okay. No, you can leave the former NTIA players in there. That's perfectly fine. What we found when we did the root scalability study and then tried to interview NTIA about the root zone process was a flat-out refusal until they could get it through their legal department. So we went and talked to former members of NTIA, and they were more forthcoming. That's some apocryphal data. The other sets of people that would be of interest are the FIRST and CERT community, the people that actually, they're not law enforcement, but they do computer security.
Repeat, please.
The FIRST and CERT community, the people who actually deal with computer and network incident response.
As well. FIRST and CERT.
On that, it would be interesting to get a... I know there's overlap with SAC, but the DNSO arc.
Yeah, I actually kind of would put that into telcos and infrastructure. That's where I was thinking of them. Because that's where they meet. David,
Bill, when you say FIRST and CERT community, you include Carnegie Mellon CERT.
Let me answer Jeff's question first. Jeff asked me to repeat, and there was the DNS OARC, which is where most of the infrastructure and telco kinds of people that run DNS big caching servers already sit. So that was what I said. That piece, when I heard Shailong say it, that's what I understood it to be.
But I think it'd be worth getting not just their view as a telco, but also the particularly how DNS OARC feels about the coordination role of ICANN and so on. The way that stuff.
Yeah, calling them out is I think is fine.
DNS OARC as a group as well as individually.
Right, and Hartmut, it was not only the Software Engineering Institute thing at Carnegie Mellon, but also national certs. So basically, that cert community, when you talk about them, it's not just picking the U.S. guys. It's actually more interesting to pick the Brazilian cert or the Australian cert or the Japanese cert or the Kenyan cert. Right?
Probably I include in your relation anti-phishing working group.
I just wanted to add, I'm DNS OARC board member, so I can help with contacting those guys if you wish. And I think, although it's included in all those groups, I think we could have probably a specific question for Weissein, so maybe it should be pointed out as a separate thing. And I was also thinking about the people that are involved in those DNS sec ceremonies, those key holders, because they might be independent experts from various regions that many of them are included in all those groups, but they might have some special views on the.
Got the trusted is the trusted the TCRs trusted
TCRs and yeah, and yeah. backup keyholder. I don't know what okay. was the exact terminology, but it's roughly. I don't know.
20 Most of them are in this list, but
okay. But not all of them actually. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I would add IETF IAB. I'll find that through the ISO report, the IAB chair and so forth, to see who are the people who want to speak about this. I mean, who are the group leaders and so forth who are appropriate for us to look at after, and also those who actually just want to speak about this.
I don't know the best way to approach, but we are not including in our list governments. How we can do it to have keep persons from the government, regulators, backbone, but we have some.
I think we'll, our since we are within the ICANN sphere, we'll go through the GAC and ask them for specifics that you know, we want to talk, we want to elicit the views from specific types of function within governments, as you mentioned, regulators, Minister of Telecommunications, security ministries, and so forth.
Only to remember, Alice probably, she's preparing before the IGF in Nairobi, a high-level minister meeting. If we have something ready, we can distribute this in Kenya. Do you see the possibility there?
You mean to the ministers?
Yeah.
Well, not sure that, you know, that they'll be that valuable in terms of responding to questionnaires, unless we develop them in a way that makes sense, but worth a try. And that's why I was suggesting that it might be easier to work through structures like the GAC. If you want to get to that level of people, it's easier because then they're also provided the level of quality of responses that we are looking for.
Rod Beckstrom.
Ooh, consensus.
Jeff Moss.
Paul Toomey.
Paul Toomey.
You should talk to Greg Rattray because he was Jeff's predecessor and helped put the structure together for the current SSR plan. And if there's other staff that you are thinking of, then Denise and I can talk and provide some suggestions. I just have one other suggestion, and you can choose to talk to this person or not, but Lyman Chapin's not on your list, and he's been chair of the Registry Services Technical Panel since the beginning and former board member as well, so someone who might have some observations that would be useful.
So, Patrick, who was that? Sorry, I didn't catch.
Lyman Chapin.
He is a former board member, was elected by the ASO.
He also chaired the Root Scalability Study.
And structural, he was with me in the Evolution and Reform Committee, so knows has very, very valuable knowledge and insights about stability and security. That looks like a pretty good list to start. We could easily, I mean, this list already is 50 people. I mean, it's 23 line items, but many of them are more people. They'll begin to overlap with things that we think otherwise. Now, I think at this point that, you know, it would be very tempting to try to match these people to specific issues or at least the three big areas. But I think that will tire us enormously and we won't even finish. And that's more, you know, something that we can do as we go later on. So we can stop this task for now. We'll add people whom you think of and send by email. Because there are some very interesting questions to be asked. But these things won't come up immediately. So I think our last item of work for today would be to get organized for the following weeks. I think that the structure for getting organized now may change from what we were doing. As mentioned on Monday, maybe we can move away from the model of the three functional sub-teams by areas and better get organized around the fact that people will be available and able to commit to do the... There's a lot of detailed writing that has to be done to flesh our report out and to see whether we have already answers or at least statements that we can test, or we really need to do an investigation in order to fill in the text after the placeholders we already have there. I'm mostly available in the coming months, all the way through the CAR meeting. At the level of availability I have had up to now, which I think is, I hope you find it reasonable. I hope that Simon and Jeff continue to be available to be part of this drafting team. I hope Xiaotong, you have the extra resource of time and availability to join. Because I mean, I think that we have to divide our team now in only two parts. One part which will be doing the drafting, writing, planning for research, assigning interviewees to issues and so forth. And those who cannot commit that much of their time, so we can count on you, for example, that to send you some of the products of the work of the drafting team and say either small pieces so you can respond promptly to areas that are within your knowledge or interest, or that you have, let's say, a week to look through the whole report and make comments or changes and so forth. So the question, I mean, if you agree with this structure, then internally in the core drafting team, we would, of course, split tasks. I mean, we wouldn't be everybody doing everything, but divided by sections or by, you know, we'll find a way to divide it that's rational and logical and doable. I don't know first if this makes sense to all of you. Any reactions here?
It makes sense to me. Basically, I have time.
Very good.
And even though I'm prickly and offensive, if you're persistent, it'll wear down, and I'll agree with you eventually, maybe. So
I know you'll agree with me when I say what you said originally. No, I know. No, fine. I mean, so first, does the structure make sense to you?
Yeah.
Then who are volunteers for the drafting team? Bill Manning? Xiaodong, you feel able to do it? Xiaodong? Jeff? Can you? Simon? Myself? David, how much do you feel available for the drafting team? Very good. David Cake, Hartmut, how's your workload? So we don't include you right now. I mean, there's no offense and there's no obligation. What we mean is we're mostly taking up this task in a way that can be done. It can be done means that we have to commit some time, and therefore it's not going to be full-time, nowhere close to full-time, because we cannot do it. It's not going to be always on 24-hour cycles, because no one can really commit to be available on a 24-hour call availability basis, but it's, you know, get a workload promised, get it done, and fulfill the promise.
I'm hoping I'll be more available in the next, more available in the second half of the year than the first, so... I'm hoping I'll be more available in the second half of the year than the first, so I'll...
So, Andre, how do you feel?
A little bit same as David. You know, I'm company CEO, so I'm pretty busy, but I believe I will be able to have some time for drafting. So.
Not very sure. Chairman, well, the NGF.
Please,
yeah.
Let's make this in a very positive and easy way. You have the IGF commitment. So, I mean, no one will, we're not taking badly from anyone the fact that you're not able to commit. This is, I mean, this is not, there are two levels of commitment here. One is a level of commitment that everybody said they would have by joining the team. And that's fine, that's the general calculation. What we're asking is for people who, considering that now is June, the work is for October, so you're considering things like summer vacation, having 2 weeks with the family, stuff like that, or specific workloads like you have for the IGF, or people may have, you know, half-year reports. There's anything. So we're not trying to shame anyone by not being able to put in the extra. The thing is, who has the extra availability? And then we'll get organized. And we'll have to ask people who are not present here but may be available. Anders, you are on the bridge. Anders, yeah. Can you hear us?
I am.
How do you feel? It's midsummer for you. It's a solstice, and so forth. How do you feel? Do you think you can put in the extra and be in the drafting group?
Yes, I think I can be in the drafting group, but starting the work after 15th of August, because I am rather a non-summer holiday this year. Otherwise, I can be with during the autumn.
Okay, so what we'll do is also that what I'll try to do with this drafting team is to spread the load in such a way also that if people suddenly find, I mean, everybody's exposed to surprises and going back home, you'll find your wives already have the tickets for 2 weeks in a place with no internet. So I mean that may happen to everybody, or your job suddenly has something. So we'll not make it, you know, like a production line, but just test it. So if someone can, let's say, divide the work in chunks that are like 2 weeks, so you can walk out from a specific task for 2 weeks without any problem for the rest of the team.
Let's just make an observation from working on with Team One. What's really useful is just that kind of regular communication and people saying, the next 2 weeks I'm only going to be able to do an hour's work, or in the next 2 weeks I've got quite a lot of time so I can take some. It's that communication so you can plan that's really important. I think the worst thing is, where it's most difficult when you're planning stuff, is when you say, yeah, I can do it, and then nothing comes back.
Yeah.
Because you could reallocate that work to somebody else who has got the time. So I think the trick is, as you say, nobody needs to feel proud or not proud about it. It's just a question of being honest about what you can and can't achieve, and then it's easy to plan. I think that's that made our lives a lot easier on Team One when we got into that working method.
So I think we have a resolution for how we're going to proceed, and we'll do the details. If you all agree, I'll try to start doing the more detailed work breakdown for the drafting team together with Jeff and Simon, who are already very much in depth into this, and we'll discuss everything on the email list for everybody to be able to join and adopt the task, or say that you can't adopt the task. But let's first work this privately for a couple of days, and then send it out. We'll have to clean up the report a little bit and so forth. So I think we're basically in good shape for going forward. We have to check with the members that have not yet taken part today. Again, thanking Anders for this really heroic performance. And what else do we have to do? What else is in your minds? Mr. Nordling, please.
Thank you. When Denise left for other meetings a little earlier, she reminded me that what ICANN staff would dearly have is then a list of additional documents that you would like to be produced and delivered to you, if anything. Maybe the collection is complete, but it may be so that you would like to have other documents following today's discussion, and that would be much appreciated.
Thank you. Our next task for the organizing team, for Jeff, myself, for Jeff Simon and myself, will be to go through the document we have produced today, go through the list of documents, see where we have matches. The next tasks actually will not just be writing. I mean, the tasks that are forthcoming, the work that we will be distributing and reorganizing among ourselves now, will be going back to some of the documents that have already been rated but have not been evaluated in detail. So we'll ask someone or two people to do an evaluation of the bylaws, an evaluation of specific contracts. I mean, we have all these documents. And we'll certainly see if some specific ones are needed that are not on the list or that have to be produced, and talk to you guys, Patrick and Denise, for that. Rest assured. If we need to understand the nature of the task that's coming, is take a document and tear it to pieces, find all that is important. Basically, the question would be for each of them, and you know, it's not just go and say everything you can think about it. It's find the three most important statements that can be made about the document in favor of about how it favors stability and how it endangers stability. It's in understanding stability, security, and resiliency of the DNS. So it's focusing on the real highlights of these things, and we'll try for all of them to be substantial. I think that we can do something which is, for example, as Xiaodong Ali has already done a great work with some of these documents, that we will ask you for the more extensive reviews of some of those. It's a heap of work, so you won't have to do it all. Some of us will take it from you. But certainly we'll try to use the familiarity you already have with them to build upon the previous work instead of inventing new work. Okay? And also as we go, you'll will be doing things like looking at the escrow agreement, CCTLD's accountability framework. We have said something in the document, in the draft. We'll have to ask the questions, okay, how do we explore this document further? How do we prove or disprove our null hypothesis that, you know, it's dangerous or beneficial? And that will give us the questions and the interviews. So it's some substantial but very concrete work that should gather speed pretty fast. I don't know if anyone has comments on the tasks to be done. Jeff, sir.
I do think it's worth, as a part of our follow-up discussion, this question of resource assistance on maybe some part of the drafting. Without, I think Simon raised a good point about not delegating the analysis, but if there's a way to help organize the information, I do think it is. Let's try and think about ways to do that.
Other comments for Bill?
I was looking at the stream from the public forum, and Leslie Crowley pointed out from a budgetary perspective that the ATRT mandated reviews are costing ICANN something around $3.something million. So I don't think we're quite spending that kind of money.
Think a bit bigger, I think.
I will.
I think that must relate not to the expenditure for performing the review, but to implement the results.
If that's the case, some of our recommendations, if they implement them, might be equally or more expensive.
Right. We can still shoot for $3 million.
We thank you, Alice, for sending the list of interviewees that Anders considers necessary. I will look, Bill, at the. I've been meaning to do this earlier, but didn't get there, to see how we're doing with respect to the budget. assigned to this group. Certainly not 3.5 million. You remember it's around $300,000. Let's just see how much our tickets, stays, and meals have already cost. I'll be surprised if it's not a six-figure number already. Alice Jansen, please.
Would you like to continue your cycle of bi-weekly calls?
I think that we need to continue with bi-weekly calls, to extend them to the whole drafting team. We may need to alternate them with bi-weekly calls among Simon, Jeff, and myself, and anyone else wanting to join, you know, this core planning. There's a drafting team, and there's sort of a planning team which we'll have to meet. So I think we'll do them and try to keep them through the summer, through the boreal summer, which is usually very difficult. But let's assume we do have them. We keep having them on Wednesdays as we have had them. Schedules have been more or less working for the central coordination team, and we'll have to look at the times for including David. So we'll rotate the pain. Other than, I mean.
I can stay up pretty late.
I will point out that the for review team two, we had some issues with timing for Asian participants, and so considering alternating times flip is
I said
probably
we'll spread
a reasonable
the pain. Oh, Olaf, Alice, you're much more mindful of lots of logistic things we may still be missing. What do you think we still have?
You had mentioned the possibility of meeting face-to-face at some point.
We have the possibility for Jeff, myself, and Simon, and maybe someone else joining, to meet in Washington, D.C.,
yes.
The week of July 18th, more specifically on July 21.
Okay. Could you let us know whether this will happen as soon as possible so we can ask
yes.
the constituency travel?
And we will ask for your support for logistics
okay.
and so forth. Yeah, this is basically defined, and we'll invite. You know, I mean, this would be a face-to-face meeting with where we already have a lot of written stuff. And to really parse and edit and you know, spend like a full day meeting, and I think Jeff has offered office space, right? Meeting space, or we'll ask you for something really simple in a hotel. Otherwise,
we also have an office.
Oh, and you have the office, of course.
Yeah, we actually have a conference space in the new DC office, and that's certainly open to use with. Video conferencing capabilities. So, if there's someone who's interested that wants to participate, we could patch them in and through our usual ways.
So, we'll work on that in the coming few days. Thank you very much. Make sure that you know it's a useful meeting. It's not intended to be a full team meeting, but it's intended to be more an organizational and let's say to create material that supports the whole group's team work. But it's not exclusionary in any way. It's just, you know, you have a day to spend working hard on that date. That's great. But we'll try to keep it small in order to be very efficient. Okay, any other issues, business?
Just something we discussed. It might be too early to talk about it, but there's just the possibility of hosting something possibly in Oxford would be again, depending on how work progress was over the summer and depending whether people wanted to do it, we'd be very happy to host a kind of SSRT, for want of a better phrase, boot camp, you know, where you just sit down and spend 2-3 days together working through, you know, doing work, not sitting and not discussing, but actually getting on, you know, being able to work together, have food and drink and everything else provided so that you can just focus on the work. You know, sometimes when you get a few heads together, you can really motor through some of that work, you know. So, and sometimes, particularly if you've got a complex analysis task to do, having two of you or three of you to bounce those ideas off as you work through it can be really useful. So very happy to host that prior to Senegal as well. If we felt that would be beneficial, people felt that they could spare, you know, 2-3 days, be very, very happy to host that in Oxford and look after people and put people up and everything else in order to get that work done. So that, there's an open offer there if people would like it.
I do have plans to be there on September, I think it's 21st, because there's the Oxford Internet Institute 10-year anniversary, and I've been invited to one of the events. So this is very likely. At least, I mean, again, this is not excluding anybody. I'm not trying to create opportunities for others not to do the work. It's just putting, two people together, two or more, to roll up sleeves. Not artificially creating meetings.
It'd be open to, you know, to everybody and anybody who wanted to come. Absolutely, it would just be an opportunity. It'd be to just to get heads together and work on stuff. So, and we could choose work depending on who was able to come and so forth. So
work on that and see if it can be budgeted and supported. Of course, we're not assuming anything without first asking.
If you could send those dates around, because I mean, they sound okay, but I have to check with the cruise director to make sure that I'm not stepping on somebody's toes.
Very good. Anything else? Any work questions? Anders, thanks for sending your emails on questions and on people to interview, and for all your efforts staying with us overnight. It's fantastic. It seems you love jet lag, so you have to have it even if you're staying home.
Exactly. And no, that's a pleasure to. It's just a pleasure to listen to the discussion here. I think I made lots of progress today.
Please, Anders, sorry to interrupt. Again, it seems useful if you speak in longer syllables that get through the decoding.
Yes, I said that it was not so problematic. It's just early morning for me. And I have been listening to a very interesting session here, and I understand and know that we have made lots of progress today. So I have good feelings for the future.
Thank you, Andesh. I'm really proud to be allowed to be part of a team like this. This has been a fantastic, productive day with lots of depth, idea exchanges, lots of pragmatism. It's like, you know, what else do you want for work than a team of smart, committed people with good nature and goodwill, and great support from staff, and it's fantastic. Thanks, everybody. Thank you. My hat's off to all of you. So we adjourn. Anders, you are free. You can enjoy your jet lag now.
Thank you. Good.
Bye, sir.